Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, and this is Russ Dizdar. This is Shadow of the Darkness live tonight. The course, Occult Satanic Crime. Second hour, the final hour is going to be the one on spiritual warfare. So we hope you're ready tonight. We're glad to be back with you. Listen, whenever we're gone, it's all about conferences and or courses, or not courses, but cases. So sometimes we're out on cases, and that takes us out there. And we've had some extreme cases work lately, and we're right in the middle of it right now, even this week. So I want to know whether or not you're hearing okay tonight. We've got the chat room open, the classroom, as we call it. We want to welcome you right now as you're going to listen live. Thousands of you that listen by the archives later on, glad you're here. Occult crimes and satanic crimes, that's our number one tonight. Here's what we found out concerning Blog Talk right now. We either have to upgrade another $40 a month above what we're paying to go to 3 hours. We didn't know that. We scheduled 3 hours tonight, and what occurred was we're at the medium scale, I guess, or whatever. So they're only going to give us 2 hours tonight. And we'll work with that tonight, but we're gonna see what we're gonna need to do concerning a three. One of the other reasons we changed this, so you know, we had so many say on Wednesday night that we could not they could not be here live because of Bible study, church, prayer meeting, things like that. So we've heard that a lot, and so we decided to put both of them together. And the goal is the goal is to get you know, all of it into one night now. So we're going to take a look at a four-hour one where we do two and two, and we just got to kind of see what's going to be best. I'm available. It's just a matter of what's going to be best for everybody. So, again, welcome tonight, Occult Satanic Crimes course. And we're going to look at tonight this issue concerning, how do you investigate it? How do you look at it? I mean, you know, you got the issue that we've talked about, the silence, you know, of the victims, the powers behind it. So let's take a look tonight what we're going to do concerning any kind of, investigation. Now, we have a thing called SIIU, Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. Let me give you a heads up. We are now, we actually are going to be recruiting more and more individuals. We had new individuals with us this last weekend, two full cars of individuals out prayer mapping and looking into some cases. Now, what this also means, though, is that as we do this, we have a tiered system. You can come in on the prayer level. You can come in on doing evangelism outreach trips and where you're at. But to be involved in the SIIU, bottom line, you're going to have to become very spiritually powerful. Outside of that, we want you to know that we need to know you. So we have a major application. We'll put it out probably into this week. And this means that we are going to, give out, we're going to put it online for you to download. You can fill it out. Now, you're going to see that in that you can become a CI, confidential informant. You can become an RI, that means a research investigator. You can become, SIU in the sense of investigator on the ground. You might want to be more involved in helping individuals, like a counselor. So we have different levels that you can get involved with. And what we call upper levels, there's an application fee that goes to all the training we're going to design and provide that you get. I mean, we don't buy it for you, but we're going to design, assess you, and design what you need, and also have a background check. So anybody that's really going to be working with us on that kind of a level, you got to understand that's just something we have to do. And so you'll hear more about that, but occult crimes, satanic crimes, we are still not yet ready to start the second volume because of being gone, being out. Again, conferences and cases have kept us away a little bit. So we are going to, We're just going to, I'm looking at some of the chat room stuff here. I want to say again, welcome everybody coming in. We're just now giving you the introductions and saying here we are. We're going to have to go a little bit strong and give you the occult crimes part that we wanted to give you tonight. Maybe mixing it with the last hour being the spiritual warfare one that we are going to be able to combine what I believe should be combined. And that goes to the subject matter for occult satanic crimes. Now, again, if you go back to the Son of Sam, killings, murders, the satanic worship at Uttermeyer Park, if you go to the Finders that had the children running around, backdrop to the CIA, if you go to the McMartin case, if you go to the Franklin cover-up case, if you go to 100 other cases, even the Jeffrey Dahmer case and many others, or the Jerry Sandusky case out of Penn State. We were just all over Pennsylvania, and we're going to be all over two other states this next week and weekend. And in this intervention, in this investigation, in what we do, please understand, and even with the law enforcement people involved, former law enforcement, we're so grateful to have individuals. Let me say quickly, too, welcome to anybody that is coming out of the Orlando, Florida conference. I met officers, I met prison guards, I met counselors, I met many others. We're going to be having a large network meeting coming at the end of this month. If you want to be a part of that, if you're able to drive 2-3 hours and want to come to the network meeting, let us know. We'll be telling you where it's at, but you will have to make it known that you're coming so we can, because it's going to probably be at a restaurant area, and we're going to have you come there to a back room and you can order. But we're going to have like a 3-hour meeting to give you, to network, to meet with you, to do other things in connecting with, you know, how to do the investigations, how to help the victim, how to, you know, save housings and all the rest that we're going to be dealing with in this context. So just update again on the occult satanic crimes part of it. I will say this again to anybody working in the area of human trafficking. You are going to begin to get, if you haven't already, more and more boys and girls in that are multiple, that is sub-personalities and all the rest, and have a satanic background. And that's been happening, but been quiet in the help towards human trafficking. And again, the issues, we're talking in the millions upon millions when you combine both those subjects, whether you're in England, the Scandinavian countries, Germany, Canada, Australia, all across the United States, the same is there. So tonight, let me have you mark down, if you would. I'll at least have you mark down and give you a little bit of an outline tonight. Occult satanic crimes, why mess with it? Well, clearly, Ezekiel chapter 8, God wanted it exposed. God was going to bring judgment. It was vile evil. It involved child sacrifice, the raising of demons, and the worst of the worst. When you talk about the worst of the worst kinds of rituals, even reading Crowley, even reading some of the other rituals that are out in the ritual books, you're talking very sadistic, radically evil, sexual ones, blood ones, animal, and so forth. And all across the board, because of the rise of different versions of dark side stuff, Pala Maombi, Bakwa, the Santa Muerte, the Saint of Death, and the drug lords and the combination. 60,000 dead is now the last figures I listened to in the drug wars. So the issue of occult crimes, you may have them in your neighborhood. Now, I'm going to ask you that in the chat room tonight, whether you have occult satanic crimes in your neighborhood. Occult satanic crimes, we're going to say, where are they? Where to look for it? Where to target? And if you heard the live Ragged Edge, and I hope that you'll listen to the live Ragged Edge. It's on the Facebook page. The live Ragged Edge show we did today that's simply entitled Foundation, the Foundation, Spiritual Warfare Foundations. And whatever you want to look at, however you look at spiritual warfare, whether you like it or not, you're in it. Whether you know it or not, you're in it. Whether you're fighting or not, I mean, there's a whole lot of, you know, things that people are doing. The final hour tonight will deal with facing it, fearing it, or fighting it. And that's true of this. So the overall issue is, occult crimes from beginning to end have satanic power issues, the motivations. In Law Enforcement Academy, one of the trainers would say, it's not whether you believe in what they believe in. It's what they believe that makes them dangerous. And that's the truth. whether it's traditional and so forth, or again, Paulo Maombi, or some of the stuff coming up from South America, South Africa, because of the blood ritual issues. But all around the world, the reports are there. I'm not going to go over that again tonight, but I just want to say that when we're talking about millions, when we're talking about every psych ward and probably just now about every prison system, we're talking about a lot of victims, and then the sons and daughters of the victims, and then the grandchildren of the victims. So we're going to talk about tonight the occult satanic crimes, you know, where to look and then what to do in this first hour that we're going to have. But let me give a final welcome to everybody coming in. This is Shatter the Darkness, website shatterthedarkness.net. And this is the Occult Satanic Crimes course. And you're getting kind of an in-between version. In other words, the larger version of this course will come when the second volume, the second training manual is out. And when that is out, we will be able to dig in a little bit deeper, give you a little bit more training. And that's important. We wanted to go an hour and a half tonight with this and an hour and a half with the other one. But the issue is... the issue behind all of this is that Bald Talk is giving us only 2 hours based on this. So we're going to take a look at it and see. It's 2 hours tonight, and we're right now the first hour, so we don't want to say much more other than getting into the subject matter. So in this next to 41 minutes, occult crimes, satanic crimes, please, if you're brand new, to go back to the first volume. There's, close to 30 hours total and resources and videos and things to look at and read. I am shocked, not shocked in a good way. I'm astounded in a good way that I met folks in Orlando. I've met other folks here and there. I mean, you've taken all the MP3s, all the sessions. You've done the workbooks. All the workbooks down at Orlando sold out. We just sold out every book, Black Awakening book here today. Even Japan ordered two of everything. I mean, it's been amazing lately. And the amazing responses. The information in the book usually shocks and awes and puts people into motivation. The workbooks are unlike anything as far as the occult crimes one. And it's very basic. So volume number two coming up will be much, much deeper. We're going to give you tonight some we're going to still touch on things. So we're going to ask you tonight, when it comes to occult satanic crimes, number one, you can put this in the chat room if you want to. I'll mention it. Do you have any satanic crimes and occult crimes in your area? Have you been personally touched by them in any way? That's number one. And then we're going to ask, again, for all those students, both live tonight and the many of you that do this by kind of like the... you're auditing the course by listening, getting into it later, which is great. Let me ask you this. Some come to the course because they've been through their victims. Some know of victims. Some have worked in the area of law enforcement, other stuff, and some because of the understanding of spiritual warfare. What I'm going to tell you again, biblically, is that prophetically, there's going to be more satanic crimes, occult crimes, bizarre ones than ever before. So the crisis of this, though swept under the rug primarily, and this is true among church leaders, everybody else, nobody wants to, articulate it, deal with it. If you mention it, they say you're focusing on it. But if you hide it, I think it's a dereliction of duty and an evidence of more fear than anything else. Because what do you do with the victims? Like, this last weekend, we have a lot of guys prayed up, trained, going out there looking to help a particular victim, but also to look for a abducted victim. And this is true in three states right now. And so the issue is for us, we can go all over the stats and stats and stats. We've done that. But the issue is getting down to the victims. But let me tell you the other side. Victims are number one, and that should be all of us in the area of helping others. Because I can guarantee you in your city, in your psych wards, counseling centers, maybe many churches have shown up SRA victims. And there's no question, as some are putting into the chat room, as Mari Terry, the journalist author of the book The Ultimate Evil, The Process Church, and the Satanic Rituals that were done with David Berkowitz in Uttermeyer Park and other places, in the places of millionaires, I mean, big mansions. The inseparable connection is child sexual pedophilia and filming and the money that's made from all of that. So this is very, very important for us to understand that, again, if you have the understanding of victims that are out there now, victims that are, you know, caged in a sense. I mean, they're locked in. They can't get out at all. Many of them have no hope. And we read in Proverbs about, you know, going to those who have no hope and speaking up for them. We have to be a voice. So part of it is to scream out the realities of it and keep that up so that nobody, based on fear, wants to thrust it away. Second thing is not just talk about it. You have to put boots on the ground. You got to go after and help. That's the Great Commission. That's what it's all about. So whether you have a law enforcement background, whatever your background, if you're, you know, psychology background, whatever else, the reality is that we are going to have to say that in the occult satanic intervention and investigation, from beginning to end, it involves the power of God. From beginning to end, it involves the redemption of God, the saving, the healing, the delivering, the building up of lives, and so forth. So, two things. Intervention, investigation. Intervention involves more targeting the victims. And I can guarantee you again that if you're at all using the training we already have up called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, how do you detect whether there's dark rituals in your city? One of the seven categories is that you have SRA, that Satanic Ritually Abused DIDs. You know, the terms the public uses, you know, we don't really use that much, but, you know, they are victims of satanic rituals and the mind control, spiritual control, physical control, things like that. So that's the issue, the intervention. I know this. Anybody with great commitment to prayer and asking, you know, God himself to help you, and you want to go out to really help victims and you're really praying in your city, you'll probably find the human trafficking issue a little more awareness, a little bit more knowing what's going on, a little bit more law enforcement engagement. When it comes to the satanic ritual side, now you have rituals that are done to summon demons to cloak. And if again, let me say this, whether law enforcement background or not, or those who are skeptics, if you don't understand the powers of the dark side, that they are real, 2 Thessalonians 2, in the end of days, this global broadening of counterfeit, but real dark powers counterfeiting the things that God does. If you understand that real summoning of demons and placing demons in people, on objects, over places where they summon and send demons against people, then you're going to be really losing out when it comes to spiritual warfare issues alone. Covens that are the kinds of underground, call it the ancient brotherhood, whatever, the kind of covens and groups that are doing the splitting, programming, demonizing, and the rituals and so forth, they're summoning demons to cloak themselves. Whether you believe it or not, they believe they're summoning demons to cloak themselves, to send them against officers, cops, police, anyone else, against workers. You know, anybody that begins to suspect a child or anything else, they're going to first summon dark powers to shield themselves and send powers against you and do what they need to do when you start to get involved. Now that's, and again, dark powers are real, they're operative, they're at work, and when nothing is done to deal with them, they kind of succeed. They can. And so this is what's been going on. That's why they love to do it all in the darkness. That's why they love to do it where nobody knows what's going on. So, and this is biblically clear, you know, in Ezekiel chapter 8. Utterly physically, the law is utterly physically secretive, but in supernaturally laced secrecy. We talked about that in volume 1. Now, so if you're going to go after it all, I mean, let's think in terms of the victims. You know, if you're going to, here's what you got to think in terms of. In the city I live in, whether large or small, and especially large, there are clear victims. And if you're a believer, and I'm saying from beginning to end, God all over this, okay? Beginning to end, if you're a believer, you're seeking God, you want the compassion, you want to be able to go out to the highways and the byways, you want to be able to minister to folks, so you begin saying, God, here am I, send me. You begin, you know, with, you know, preparing yourself, building yourself, praying. You know, you've got to become spiritually strong. Because if you deal with the underworld, and they are the ones that can summon and send demons and do warfare, then you're going to be in some trouble. A lot of people that worked in the 80s and 90s are out of this work because they couldn't handle the warfare. They didn't know what to do. And I would say that's true in the area of the ideas of psychology and law enforcement and other investigators who just didn't understand all the stuff going on. So the targeting of victims is going to gonna involve, you know, the heart of God, you know, in your life, and you becoming so spiritually strong, you're going to be out there praying, Lord, bring me to the victims, bring the victims to me, help me find them. And I'm going to tell you again, ultimately you will. Now, let me give you this tonight. Where do you go looking if you're going to be praying that God leads you? And I'm going to say I've done this for years. We've done this with our prayer map stuff and really going after it. This is what I'm very sure. You prepare yourself spiritually. You read it, and I think it's in Joshua. You know, consecrate yourself today. You know, consecrate, set apart. Commit yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things. So that's important. You have to be prepared from beginning to end spiritually, and God's got to be your resource. The Spirit of God you have to, you know, yield to, and you got to know the Word of God and educate yourself on the other subjects like you're doing tonight, like we're doing tonight together. Now, once you're doing that and you begin to say, Lord, lead me to the victims, get me to the victims, and you go out. Let me tell you what some of the ways in which you can do this. One, from your home, you're praying. You write it down on paper, and you're asking God to lead you and guide you, and you want to get out there. Number two, and this is the ways we've done it, going to areas where, you know, there's already a sense of violence or hints of this kind of stuff going on, and you walk the areas. And you walk and pray, and you walk and pray. The third thing is to taking vehicles, and, you know, whether it's you and somebody else, or you pack the vehicle out and you go to the areas where, you know, you have any sense of where, you know, ritual victims and trafficking victims may be. And you go out there to drive and to pray and to drive and to pray and to drive and to pray. So you're going to lay down the foundations of all of this battle in the area of prayer. And some of the things are, you know, God, help us to find the victims. God, help us to, you know, crush the dark powers and deal with the perpetrators. Help the victims get out. So your prayers are targeting to find victims. Now, I will say this, and in the context of praying to find them and preparing yourself to minister to them. Did you hear that? Preparing to find them and preparing yourself to minister to them, because they're going to have a lot of needs coming in. I'm going to go over those in this first hour, the needs you're going to need to address, you know, as far as helping them, finding them, the total care, you know, we'll talk about this in detail, but food, clothing, housing, and all the rest in just a moment. Where do you find the victims of ritual abuse and or human trafficking? Well, again, in your city, you can go to the places where there's concert. I mean, like rock and roll. I mean, like the bar areas and the areas where there's some heavy duty, you know, dark side, black metal music stuff. And why do I say this? Because I used to teach theology 3 hours on Friday nights, and then we'd go out to eat, and I would take a team of people, prayed up, and we would visit the local biker heavy metal bar, in which we've engaged victims and we engaged people that are practitioners, and we did evangelism and so forth. And I'm just saying that where you find some of the, you know, whether you want to say light level or lesser level, information sometimes can be found out if you're doing, you know, any kind of work at all. If you go to the owners of some of the places where heavy duty rock and roll, black metal music and all kinds of stuff is done, you may be able to get some information saying, hey, I'm out here, we're, you know, and tell them straight up, you're believers in Christ, you've heard about some victims, do they know of anyone, do they know of anything, that you can, you know, we're here to help. I mean, we did this with Ministry to the Outlaws, the arch enemies of the Hell's Angels, by the way, out of Canton. So we just did. We went in. We let the bar owners know who we were. We weren't in there for anything else other than just ministering to people. And that included bikers. That included ritually abused and you know, we found, and other victims. And even, you know, you got to understand with the world of pimps and prostitutes and so forth, where pimps will give free drugs to girls that get a little bit, you know, addicted to some of the drugs, and then they make them dance naked. Of course, we can't go into the naked bars. You can stay on the outside of them to minister. So you got to understand how they're pulled in also. So drugs and drawing them in and then pimping them out for either dancing and or, you know, prostitution, that's really part of it. It really is. So music halls. Now, another place you can go, and especially if you know people, any kind of counseling centers. Counseling centers. Where you ask about it, and if you make friends with counselors and others and so forth and let them know who you are and what you're doing in ministry and so forth, you may begin to find stuff there. Anything that deals with prisons or jails, you may begin to ask officers, others connected on a social level, social workers, things like that. You can also, you know, again, churches. You can begin to call pastors and churches to say, hey, have you heard about these victims or have you heard about satanic ritual abuse? You could be out on the streets, you know, downtown, other places where you actually ask. You can go to New Age and occult-oriented shops. You got, you know, a little bit covert, you know. You're going, praying, and asking and looking at things and seeing. A lot of darker underground Satanists may go to lesser, like paganish, you know, light Wiccan level meetings and places and rituals, because they're there maybe to recruit, see what's going on. But again, among Wiccans and Druids and New Agers and many others, they may also know there are some heavy duty, you know, ritually abused. You're going to find the ritually abused among them. You know, somewhat maybe practitioners, somewhat trying to get out, and this is the only spirituality they know, and yet it doesn't work and it won't work. You can, as we're having mentioned here. Now, you go ahead and put it in the chat room classroom, other places that you know of where you might begin to meet folks. And so I'm saying, number one, asking God, because he's omniscient, omnipresent. He knows exactly where it's all at. That's what you got to understand. He knows exactly where they're at. So you begin to pray. You begin to ask God. You know, you read Daniel chapter 2 in the prayer Daniel does in his praise to God, that God knows what lies in darkness. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's on the list. Homeless shelters. Homeless people on the streets. And if you do meet homeless people on the streets, don't forget to give, you know, take them, give them a, sometimes they don't want to go anywhere with you, but you could take them a hot, you know, just take a whole big bag of food and any kind of jackets and gloves and talk to them and minister to them and get to know them and help them. And in the midst of that, if you ask about on the street, you're looking for victims of ritual abuse and so forth, they may be able to give you insight. So, social workers, counselors, psychologists, homeless shelters, homeless individuals, you know, the concert halls, the bar areas. Even in the drug world, there's we know right now there is a definite connection between those who are practitioners and the drug world, too. So you might find people coming out of the drug stuff where there's alcohol, drug treatments places, they'll know also. So you'll find that. You'll find that many times. So in looking for them for the intervention, you know, that's where you're going to go after the victim issues. And let me mention a few things to think about in the back of your mind when it comes to victims in the area of helping them. Again, the better prepared, the more spiritually strong, the more able you are in if you build any, you know, a team, two members, three members, you know, you just the better you can do everything. Finding satanic ritually abused individuals, or even in the area of human trafficking, and even girls and others that are out there doing, and guys included, young guys too, in just simply prostituting themselves, they get in a world that where they're, you know, just completely sunk in. In ministering, of course, it involves the clear, you know, salvation, the healing, the deliverance. I mean, it involves Jesus from beginning to end, because he is he loves them, he cares, he's the restorer of life, he's the you know, savior, healer, and deliverer. In the context of that, and clearly in the context of the gospel, you may have to give them, you know, they may have no way to get food. If you get a ritually abused or a human trafficking individual out from under the group that's controlling them, where are you going to take them? Most of the time, they have no food, they have no money, they have nowhere to go, they usually don't even have a job. So here's what has to be really thought about. And in the second manual coming up, we have an entire section on the safe housing issue and what to do. You have to think in terms of housing. Where will you take them if you find them? Where are you going to take them for, you know, the because they're going to need some, you know, deliverance and healing issues and counseling and help. So you're going to have to think in terms of healing. That's very important. Deliverance, I mean, but that you're going to have to maybe help with the food issue. That's why I'm saying building a group is going to be vital, and the second manual is going to deal with that a lot. And, you know, two, you know, is better than one, as we read in Ecclesiastes. Jesus sends them out in teams so that you have a network. If you have a home Bible study that's focused on this kind of ministry, we suggest that, by the way. You got to consider, what are you going to do concerning the food? What are you going to do concerning any clothing, housing? That's a big issue. Now, when we get later on in the second manual, when we go over the housing issues, you also have this. Housing issues will include, if they are multiple, subparts that may run away or subparts that may let the coven know where you're at, where they're at. So that's going to be in the bigger manual as far as covering safe houses. But whether you, and we've done this before, we put people in, you know, hotels. We put people in hotels where you can pay for 30 days at a time. Church ministries have clothing ministries. Your local churches might help you with food and clothing and things like that, or even help, you know, challenge your church, you know, leaders and so forth, or the ministry division or the missions division. Will you supply 1 month of rent for the housing of these folks in a place? Because, you know, they have to be somewhere. And there's, you know, the worse off as a victim they were, the more attention they're going to need, the more, you know, individual help they're going to need. So that's part of the whole of the issue in finding the victims. If you prepare yourself, let me break it down. If you prepare yourself well spiritually and keep growing and growing and growing, never stop growing, by the way. Never stop in that, because you're going to need to rely on the Lord in all of this. But if you're really bent on helping the victims, and I want to give you as a backdrop, you can read Isaiah 58. If you spend yourself on the victims, if you really give yourself to helping the victims, I mean, read there what a true fast is. Going to break the yoke, all the yokes, you know, all the bondage issues. When you go to really give your lives to help minister to those who are really, you know, been enslaved. And in this, you're going to find out that, you know, the glory of the Lord is going to be your rear guard. Healing is going to be quickly seen. God's going to lead you and guide you in a more specific way. So here's what I see. Plunging yourself into ministry to help victims, which I think Isaiah 58 is all about, because it involves the end of the story, the repairer of broken walls, you know, deals with restoration, repairing, renewing, and so forth. Please read Isaiah 58. Let God speak to you distinctly concerning intervention, how to find victims and help them. I'm telling you again, because victims are generally helpless and hopeless, especially in the coven sense, but also in the human trafficking sense. They've had people over them that they get punished and harmed very badly if there's any kind of breach, and then trying to get away, get out. There is the demonic sense. There is the threats of even life and limb. So prepare yourself in the deepest and best way and keep on doing that. Second, begin to go out. You're going to have to just start the prayers, go walk, go drive, build the team, go after it. And then when you begin to engage in the places we've told you, you may know of other places in your town, but you're going to have to deal with food, clothes, housing, and other issues. And you're going to see. You're going to see that it tears your heart up at times. You're going to see that it really draws you to God and see His power more than ever. You're going to see that you're going to need, as I spoke early today on the live broadcast out of Acts chapter 12, when Herod was going out in a very cruel and wicked way, attacking the church. He killed James. They imprisoned with four groups of soldiers. They imprisoned Peter, and most likely were going to kill him. And look what it took. It took a prayer meeting at Mary's house. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't understand that the foundation behind, you know, even rebuking demons and authority and dealing with astral projection, the foundation is becoming powerful in prayer, massively powerful in prayer. And that's vital. So I hope that you'll listen to, and matter of fact, I'll probably link the earlier hour I did today on live radio to this particular one we're doing now for the archives and put the two together. You're going to need massive power, because if you look at what happened at Mary's house, when they're praying and praying, they targeted Peter. So they prayer mapped Peter. In other words, they were targeting him for release, targeting him for protection, targeting him for deliverance. And guess what occurred? Angels sent in, iron chains fall off, a light was given, was shown so they can get out of there because it's dark. The iron barred gate opens up. I mean, you've got to understand the supernatural intervention. Now, I believe in physical intervention. If we're out and we see someone and we've done this to where we've flown into another city and extracted a person out. You're gonna have to realize that this is, you know, because, you know, you're going to be involved with victims who are, you know, every victim, please note this down too, every victim will know of many other victims. They'll know the perpetrators, they'll know the things, they'll know of other victims. You're going to hear the most horrific stories, but those victims will know of other victims. And let me say to the victims listening right now, because I know a lot do, and I know the recon, you know, on the other side, they recon the show to see what we're saying. May God engage you. But to the victims, I'll say this. We pray together today for extraordinary mercy and grace and healing and help and restoration for you. I remember Job, the second half of his life was better than the first, because God has that ability to make the second half of your life a miracle as compared to what you've gone through. Now, having said that, every victim, I want you to know that you have to fight. Fight for, in the context of getting out, growing, learning, grabbing hold of the real Jesus from heaven, and being saved and empowered and moving that direction. Please understand that you do have others that you know are victims too. And so I think it's very important that you stretch out your hands in prayer, and you offer information. It's vital you offer information about the other victims. Many times, because of that extra information, we are able to find other victims, or victims who knew of others led us to people, and to help get them out. And let me say this also: in satanic ritual abuse, if you're dealing with a 50-year-old person, most likely their sons and daughters that may be, you know, in their 30s or maybe in their 20s, grandchildren in their 20s or whatever, they're going to be SRA MPD also. And they're going to be needing help also. So every single satanic ritually abused person, and even the human trafficking individual, if you put their name on a piece of paper and web them out, map them out, in other words, who are their parents, who are their kids, who are they connected to, who are the victims they know about, who are the perpetrators they know about, what places have they been in, that's a lot of information all around one individual with a focus that you're still focusing on them to help them. That's why I'm going to say in the middle of the night, you know, you get up at times and think of some of the victims that have been. And this will happen to you. Victims who are SRA will have an inside personality that will run back or call the covenant. They'll come and get them, and all of a sudden they're gone for 2 or 3 days. And you're going to have it going back and forth at times. And you're battling for a life. You're really battling for lives. So I'm really going to tell you, in the middle of the night, on your own at times, you're going to be just pouring out prayers. You're going to be, you know, brokenhearted at times. But you're also going to become, I think, in the power of the Spirit of God, defiant concerning the dark side. And that's why I'm going to say that no matter what your fear level is now, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you grow as a powerful prayer warrior, powerful soul winner, And step out there instead of in any way fearing the darkness, you come to radically fight against it in the name of the Lord. Then you're going to find that you're going to be just utterly changed by the compassion, the power of God, the person of God. Instead of a reaction of fear in the presence of evil, it'll become an outrage, and you'll want to stand against it, and you'll want to see it stop. So tonight, as we're talking about how to find the victims and what, you know, a basic little, for some, you're just going to go over what we've touched on, but in a more focused way. Let me give you an example of Ezekiel chapter 8. No question victims were there. The history of that kind of coven stuff involved human sacrifice of children. What about moms and dads like Manasseh in 2 Kings 21, 22, 23? He did that. He killed his own son. He was guided by the dark side powers into believing that's what he should do. So what about when they come to their senses? What about when you find victims who tell you that they were a breeder and they gave up a child, or they were involved in killing, or they have a priestess inside that has sliced open humans? So what did I say in the beginning? Prepare yourself spiritually in the presence of God and by the power of God, by the word of God, the prophetic, that more is coming than ever. But that God will give you not only every resource you need, there is an abundance. There is an abundance. You know, and you build yourself in that sense. That's why I like chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Because not only does Peter get out of the prison, not only is Rhoda shocked that he's at the door, and the rest of the guys telling Rhoda, you must be crazy that Peter's at the door, and then they find out they're wrong. They're praying their hearts out, and guess what? God answers the prayer. He answers the prayer in such a way that it astounds them all. They weren't expecting that big of an answer. Do you think Peter, when he went to bed, was expecting an angel to show up, that real iron chains would fall off his hands all by themselves? That a light would appear, that God would cause a light to appear for them to get out? So this is why I'm telling you that in all of this, you know, it's an amazing thing to me that we don't rely more both to advance the gospel, but also to pray against the perpetrators and to pray for the release of the victims. Obviously, Peter was a victim. James was a victim. He was killed. And the church was being, you know, slammed against by Herod. You look at chapter 12, and you look, and I want to say to perpetrators out there everywhere, look at chapter 12 and see what God did. In the middle of chapter 12 is a home prayer group at Mary's house. Was it 5, 10, 12, 15? I don't know. But they were praying fervently. They were praying strongly, consistently. They did like Acts chapter 4. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. And with that comes answers beyond their expectation. And I believe in this underworld, with how many victims, how many victims and what goes on, and the demonic side that wants to keep them all in place. Ask any satanic ritually abused person. Rituals are done. Demons are there. The demons want them in place, you know, and you got to understand the dark powers, the demons themselves want them to be, you know, compliant and stay in. They don't want anything out. And that's why there's a fight. That's why there's a fight on the way out at times. So I will emphasize again, for the sake of victims and what to do and giving yourself, Isaiah chapter 58, and you get that tonight or tomorrow, and you spend time with the Lord, and you spend time with saying, Lord, here am I. Go ahead and tell him, well, I'm not very good. I'm not this. Or you can tell him all you want to. You can tell him about all your inadequacies. But I tell you what, God will be able to respond if you're willing and make all those inadequacies become massive. You'll have massive competence at some point. You'll become powerful, wiser, stronger, more fruitful. And like chapter 12, if you look at chapter 12 of Acts, after Peter's delivered, he's there with the believers, they're celebrating and they're planning, he declares to them what the Lord did. He comes in and tells them exactly what God did. And I'm going to tell you that there's victims that have told us about how God has brought intervention, sometimes just to the point of giving them the courage to break away and leave. Most victims that are held and engaged with covens in the area need to be out of the area. Most human trafficking people that are locked into areas need to be taken somewhere else too. So the network, you and I should be praying that a larger, broader network of believers working in these fields will continue to build, keeping it safe, and keeping infiltrators out and things like that. Well, listen, we're giving you these things in the first hour on occult and satanic crimes. This is part of the overall training, and we'll tell you again, Ezekiel is one, but Josiah is another issue. In the intervention of going after the victims, we've shared that. Now, let me give you the investigative side a little bit again. In a positive way, you're praying for the victims to be rescued, saved, healed, delivered, helped, restored, right? When it comes to the covens and the perpetrators and heavy-duty drug lords and pimps and those who are prostituting kids out and all the rest, or those who are using them, be very clear about Acts chapter 12. The violent, radically evil perpetrator in Acts chapter 12, the center of Acts chapter 12 is a prayer team, a prayer meeting at Mary's house. But in the engagement, ultimately, God brings down the perpetrator. Now, this may be new to some. This may be new to some folks. In the case of Herod being removed, it wasn't law enforcement. It wasn't another government. There was no other place to go. There was no powers politically, powers in law enforcement, powers militarily to come in and help. So in the middle of chapter 12 of the book of Acts, you have this prayer team in Mary's house targeting Peter's, freedom and rescue. No doubt in the midst of that, they had to have been praying concerning Herod, because they know Herod killed James, took Peter, was oppressing in a vicious way. You look at the two Greek words used in the beginning of that chapter 12, and in a very vicious, targeted way, Herod was targeting the church and causing great harm. So as they were praying for Peter, guess what happens? Not only does God step in with angels, powers that break iron barred, chains around arms and opened iron barred gates all by themselves, but he also brings down the perpetrator. Literally. I mean, you can read the chapter yourself. I mean, if you say, well, you're a pastor, you teach the Word of God, you're a Bible Sunday school teacher, you have a Bible study in your home, teach the Word of God. The truth is, in that chapter, in the context of a prayer team that was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for the good, the release of Peter and help, and they wanted the gospel to continue, of course, but also against the radical evil. And in that context, where there was arrogant, unrepentant, self-exalting, vicious radical evil, Herod was all of that, God removed him. God removed him. So let me tell you that when we are praying for and looking for and intervening for the victims and doing all that we want to do to bring the saving, healing, delivering, restoring grace of Jesus to them and the help and the friendship they need. They need friends. They need good brothers and sisters. Some of them don't even know what a family is. We also need to stand in, and when we realize who the perpetrators are, people have asked me this. Russ, are you willing to turn state's evidence? Are you willing to, identify people? Are you willing to do this and that? Without question. Here's what we got to understand in the area of satanic ritual abuse, people like John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, when these kind of individuals, serial murderers, killers, rapists, and they did things in a ritualistic way, Dahmer did, no question about it. unless the perpetrator is stopped, another victim is found and brutalized and harmed again and again and again. Some of the serial rapists and murderers had dozens of people. I mean, the truth is sometimes in the state, let me just, again, the word of God in Romans 13 says that the state, under the commission of God, the state is to bear the sword on the evildoer. I mean, on radical evil, to bear the sword, to stop this, to engage this. But it's true, they can't cover everything. They can't catch all the drug lords and all the ritual abusers and all the drug trades and all the human traffickers, because you're talking multi-billions of dollars of an industry. You're talking about the elitists that might even be in politics and other places that hide this. You got people within the religious systems and the Catholic system that hide the pedophiles and the satanic worshipers there, or even in law enforcement or wherever. But prayer, God knows everyone. Remember again, Daniel chapter 2. When he's praising God for the answer, when he says that God knows what lies in darkness, he knows every perpetrator. And you got to understand that no perpetrator ever gets away. The great white throne judgment ultimately down the road, the great white throne judgment ultimately is going to handle all of it. So any and all victims and any of all the people, because there's people that I see that are perpetrators that have been on the field for 30 years or more, sexually abusing boys and girls, demonizing them, splitting them, putting them through rituals, and they're still doing it all the way to this very day. So I'm going to tell you right now, it's time to get outraged at the perpetrators. Two single things we look at. One, like Saul of Tarsus, we would pray that God would engage him in such a way they get saved first and come out and turn on the evil, right? That's number one. We would want that to happen. We would want to have an engagement to where the perpetrators, and those perpetrators that may listen to this out of monitoring, God knows how to, like the demon-worshipping king of Babylon, how to visit you. So we need to understand that God does engage demon-worshipping kings and perpetrators and all the rest. And we need to be able to say God engaged them, invade them. Saul of Tarsus was engaged. He got saved. He became a great missionary. The proof's in the pudding, right? And so the perpetrator can be saved and delivered and healed and so forth. But let me say this too. And I'll give you my personal, this is my personal opinion. Perpetrators that are just laughing in the face and of God, and, you know, they're just out there, you know, in a real sense, mocking God, and they're doing all the rituals and stuff. Now, I will say this. I would rather see a perpetrator get caught and put in jail even before he ever gets saved than to take another child, another generation, and continue. The issue is, stop the perpetrator from doing what they're doing now. I tell you one thing about going to jail and prison. I know of a lot of good preachers that go to prisons. I went to the jails many times to preach the gospel, many times to preach the gospel, many times to visit people in the jails. So please understand, ministry to, let me say this, by the way, if you're doing any kind of ministry to prison individuals or those incarcerated, you're going to find SRAs there. You are. You're going to find people that have become the perpetrators may have been the victims in the first place. God knows how to have mercy. What Jesus did on the cross is bigger. Is bigger than the people that have killed. I mean, does God forgive murderers? Does God forgive pedophiles? Does God? But He also requires them to repent. One of the best ways murderers and pedophiles and Satanists like this, undergrounders and others, and human traffickers and drug lords can demonstrate they really got saved, really got born again, is that they not only utterly, completely repent of, turn away from all the practices, but they're willing to turn on it. They're willing to come against it. They're willing to help stop it and help the victims. So this is very important to realize that, you know, there are people that are pure evil. There's no question about it. So I would say, God, save them. We're asking for to save them. But by all means, Lord, we pray fervently that God will intervene and stop them. Here's how we pray. This is what we're actually, no matter what it takes, Lord. God knew how to bring down Pharaoh. God knew how to bring down King Herod. God knows how to intervene with the king of Babylon and invade his mind with a dream and disrupt him. That's what I think is very important. So I'm just telling you that when it comes to the intervention of victims, that's one thing. When it comes to the investigation of and targeting of perpetrators, do you know we pray to find perpetrators to deal with them? Do you know we pray and we do on an investigative side? If you learn some avenues of investigative journalism, private investigator stuff, if you have officers that are your friends and believers and your local teams or whatever, you've got some resources to help do some physical investigation. But hear me clearly. Going after perpetrators, two things you got to understand when it comes to the satanic side. It will be the power of God that breaks through and brings you to their face. Listen carefully. Ezekiel chapter 8. God took the good prophet in step by step by step and then eventually brought him all the way to the actual faces of the leaders deep down in there. Okay? Part of it was to expose it. Part of it was to declare he's going to bring judgment. God does bring judgment on radical evil. When you're killing babies and breeding people and killing their babies and bloodshed for years and years and years and years, and you're arrogant and you're trying to bring corruption and harm stuff, and you're trying to get into the temple of God like Ezekiel 8, when you're trying to infiltrate the churches and do all the kind of stuff you're doing, Jesus has a right. God has a right. Zeal for the house of God consumes him. And there's a time in which, and I'll just give you again, the teaching of Acts chapter 12. In the context of the gospel, God himself took out an arrogant, radically evil, very harmful person, murderer, who committed homicide. He murdered James. God took him out. Let me be very clear, too. I think in Ezekiel we read that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they turn. But the fact is, God does even now bring down perpetrators. And I believe that's done in the context of prayer teams and people praying and seeking for God's help. I believe that's when real prayer teams are praying and saying, God, deliver victims out of the hands of perpetrators. Because some perpetrators, they'll do everything. They'll threaten you. They'll come after you. They'll shoot at you. They'll do things. They'll send people. They'll do what they can do to stop people. Herod was doing that. He killed James. He was incarcerating Peter. He wanted to stop the ministry of the church. But what happened in prayer in Mary's home was a major prayer team that went on and on and on, that included the rescue of Peter and the bringing down of the perpetrator. Okay? And I told a victim on the phone this last weekend who was concerned about the perpetrators, actually, concerned about family members being perpetrators too. And I had to tell them very flatly, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? When it comes to another 12-year-old girl being raped and ritualized and used and abused, I would rather God bring down the perpetrators to help, to stop this. Even if you get one victim out, please understand there's many victims still in. So I think that you look at Acts chapter 12 concerning the astounding power of God in the context of occult satanic crimes. As you look at Acts chapter 12, the really satanically controlled political powers, I don't know what Herod was into on his own worship level, but clearly he was adamantly, in a very, very sadistic way, adamantly against the body of Christ, and was a murderer, killing believers and incarcerating them. So I think that the context of that chapter shows that the prayer team had everything to do. Their prayers had everything to do with God then answering to deliver Peter out of it in a miraculous way and to bring down the perpetrator in a miraculous way. Both an angel was sent to Peter to get him out, and an angel was sent to King Herod, the wicked man, to get rid of him. That's the Bible, and that's Acts chapter 12. And we are at the first hour of Occult Satanic Crimes and Powers tonight. And so if you got a couple moments right now for some questions before we go to the second hour when it comes to spiritual warfare principles we're going to give you tonight, that will be, again, work in concert with what we just shared on the occult crime stuff. And I see that in the chat room here, the classroom here, appreciate that, Dane, so much. I'm quoting Russ mentioned praying Psalm 10 when it's all, you know, and I agree. Thank you for bringing that up. Psalm 10 is an actually great, 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 great psalm that gives you insight again concerning the perpetrators and what needs to be done. Any other quick questions that can come up into the chat room quickly here? I know this probably this hour is going to give some content to think of. It's not the average Sunday school class, but I think that it's got to become part of the reality of churches everywhere, that in your cities, real stuff, rituals go on, victims are there, human trafficking goes on, drug lords and the violence and all the rest is all around. And I believe the church has a major, major role in engaging that and can target evangelistically with healing, deliverance, help, and so forth. But with the local church and then your teams, you've got to be able to have teams of major, major, major prayer, consistent prayer. And they didn't pray. They didn't get done praying until Peter was there. And so when it comes to the intercession, we've seen victims brought out, but we've also we've watched where perpetrators have gone down. And if that means perpetrators go to prison, so what? I don't care. I would rather them go to prison than, again, 12-year-olds and 7-year-olds and, you know, others be really harmed. You got to understand how wicked some have come to be. And if they go to prison, I'm sure there's chaplains and others that can preach the gospel to them and all the rest. And I think that's important. I would rather see them get saved, but we also have to say, what about more victims and more victims and more victims? Do we just let them go? No. God, do whatever it takes. And I think Acts 12, I think, thank you, Pastor Dane, Psalm 10 and even Isaiah 58, all three of those studied well tonight will help you in the understanding of the dealing with occult satanic crimes and so forth. Well, we're going to take a moment here. We're going to shift gears and we're going to go into spiritual warfare. So we're going to end the session now on occult crimes. And we're going to take any other